Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Blessed.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. All right, so we have just a couple of announcements. Bible study tonight, 6 p.m. right here. Please come join us, and let's learn what God has in His Word. On Wednesday nights, we gather together to pray here at the church at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. Please come and participate in that also. You know, the more people that pray, the better the outcome, in my opinion.
Amen.
Let's see. Women's Bible study. I believe that is still in effect for Friday. I have not heard anything else on whether it's going to be postponed or anything. So 10:30 in the morning on Friday, Women's Bible Study. Come on and participate in that also. Let's see. Oh, we are collecting an offering for the Annie Armstrong ministry until the end of March. Our goal is $400. And the envelopes are in the back of the sanctuary on the offering table. And whatever the Lord leads you, please do so. See, on Palm Sunday, we're having an all-church sing-along at the Church of Christ at 6 p.m. on March 24th. I'm going to tell you, from the one that we had in December, it was an absolute blessing to see all of the different congregations in our little town come together to just worship our Lord.
Yeah.
It was an amazing thing to experience. And Lisa, myself, and Mark, we're going to be at this. And I, you know, definitely is something that everybody should be participating in. Let's see. Good Friday. On Good Friday, we are going to have a church service right here from 12 to 1 p.m., but it's going to be also the other pastors in our association. Their congregations are all going to meet here also. And it's a all-church Good Friday service, and that is on March 29th between 12 and 1 p.m. If you are able to make it, please do. It's going to be a blessing. The Master Life class is coming soon. Text me with your name that you want to be in the class. It is open. We don't have any limitations, and you know it is an absolute blessing to go through this class. And you know,
when is it?
I'm going to announce that in about 5 minutes. It is in my message today. The Lord gave me the day and time last night, and it is in the message. So I don't want to give anything away yet. Oh, yeah. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Okay, no, never mind. All right, baptism. We are having an all-church association baptism coming up on Sunday, April 14th at 3:30 p.m. It is going to be at Faith Bible Church, and contact me if you are interested in being baptized. You know, we'll sit down, we'll get it all laid out and get it ready, and it's going to be a blessed event. And so if you are ready to be baptized, just let me know, and we'll get you there. Men's Bible study, I'm still in prayer about that. I'm still working things out on that. And as soon as I am told by God in His time what to do with it, then we will go from there. But until then, it has been canceled. And I am restructuring it, but I am waiting for God to guide in order to get it all done. Other than that, is there any other announcements that I have forgotten or don't know about? None? Okay. Yes.
What if
Annie Armstrong.
What is that for?
It is a ministry for the missionaries. It's a missionaries ministry.
Our church association. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, anything else? Okay, Dave, can you open us up in prayer, please?
Amen. Romans 12:1. I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Please stand and worship with us. I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through Jesus, everyone who believes is justified. Philippians 2, 10a and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is a new one. It was a special request. Philippians 3, 8a. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord.
Into my
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service today. And we have been methodically working through the book of Acts. And we are going to continue looking through the eyes of Luke, a first century apostle and a member of the original OG 12. Now, throughout this study, we are learning how to become better at living like Christ throughout our daily lives right here in the 21st century. Some may be wondering what I mean by becoming better. I mean, I'm sure all of us are sitting here going, hey, I'm a pretty cool dude already. I'm pretty cool. What do you mean get better? Right? Well, as a follower of Christ, we will always have things to learn. We will always need to learn ways of improving ourselves from who we were yesterday to who we will be tomorrow. Life is all about growing and learning new things every day. The same applies to our Christian life. In life, a person that refuses to grow will become stagnant in their own life. Let's take a warning real quick from Jesus about what happens to people who are quiet in their faith. Please stand for the reading of God's word today. John chapter 15. Verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, here is the warning. Verse number 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You may be seated. What exactly is Jesus warning us about in that passage? Some people believe that this is where Jesus says that we can lose our faith, or rather, our faith can be taken away from us. I do not believe that at all. I do not believe that is possible at all. If it was possible for anyone to lose their faith, I'm going to just tell you straight up, point blank, they never had the correct type of faith to begin with. A person that claims that they have lost their faith never had true faith and was never a true Christian, a true child of God to begin with. So what is that warning about? I fully believe that stagnant people will be cut away from the vine, not as a loss of faith, but as the point where God doesn't call on them anymore, doesn't call on them to do the work that he needs done. Those will be the people that Jesus will turn away and send them to hell for their judgment. And the reason why I say that is because if you notice in verse 6 of what I just read to you, Jesus says, and they gather them and throw them into the fire to be burned. Stagnant people in their faith cannot bear any fruit for the kingdom. And so they are not called upon to produce fruit for the kingdom. They also will not inherit or live in the kingdom. This is why it is vital that every person in this church becomes a true disciple of Jesus through the upcoming discipleship class that will begin April 14th at 4 p.m. And it will be in place of the 6 p.m. Bible study. Hint, hint, sign up with me ASAP. That way I can make sure that every person has the books needed for the class. In these last few short weeks, we have seen what's your purpose in life. We also now know whatever it takes to be a true Christian. And then having the heart of a believer leads into being a member of a seasoned church. We as members of a seasoned church can still learn a lot more in order to have a strong relationship with Jesus. Now, I say that because being a Christian has nothing to do with following a religion. Being a Christian has everything to do with having a real relationship with Jesus Christ, the only Savior of this world. Throughout the course of being a pastor, there has been a question that seems to crop up from time to time. And that question is this: what difference can I make? At the end of this message, you will, without a shadow of a doubt, know the answer to that question. What difference can I make? The title of today's message is The Difference. We will continue in the book of Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 33. And I'll be reading from the New King James today. Let's start with the temple. It is where everything is happening. It is the it place. This is where the disciples have been meeting for the last year. This is the place to visit. People from all over the nation had been coming to the temple and hearing about Jesus. They take the eyewitness accounts back to their cities, back to their little towns, back to the countryside. And they are sharing about the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and how people are actually being healed by his disciples at the temple. More and more people continue showing up to see if these stories that they are hearing are actually true. They are bringing their sick friends and family members to see them get healed. What happens when the entire place begins to swell because everyone is showing up at the same time to experience the message and the miracles? Well, let's look at our text for today. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation," meaning jealous. They're getting jealous. "The Sanhedrin was in fact a coalition composed of those who were Sadducees and those who were Pharisees. Now the Sadducees were the theological liberals who did not believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in things like the resurrection from the dead. They didn't believe in the existence of angels. Now, the Pharisees are the polar opposite. They were what we would call the theological conservatives, the Orthodox Jews, who believed in the resurrection, who believed in the angels. They believed in the supernatural in general. The chief priests were all of the Sadducee party. Why is everyone going to them? Why does everyone hold their opinions and their leadership in such high honor? Especially when their viewpoints were so opposite of each other. Let's go to verse 18 of our text. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Because Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and then he rose from the dead, you can have this new life in the kingdom of God, which is where God rules and reigns forever. We are to go tell people of this great and wonderful message. That's what that passage says right there. That sentence, speak to the people all the words of this life, is what the rest of the book of Acts is going to fall on. That sentence is the foundation of the vision of the church. That sentence should be the foundation in the purpose of every Christian. The first part of verse 21 of our text. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. The religious leaders cannot stop these apostles from teaching. They just can't. And so they did what? They arrested them. They figured, they'll be locked up. That'll shut them up. Well, then an angel shows up. An angel comes in the middle of the night and lets them out and tells them to go back to the temple to teach. And so the apostles did that. They went back to the exact same spot that they had been arrested at when they were preaching the day before, when they were arrested. And what did they do? They started preaching once again. The second half of verse 21 of our text. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council, meaning the Sanhedrin, together, which all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, Indeed, we found the prison shut securely. And the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Well, go figure. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. All right, let's break this down just for a quick second. The leaders, the Sanhedrin, knew that they had locked up the apostles the night before. They knew that they were there last night. They knew that the cells were locked up tight. And they knew that the guards were outside watching, making sure nothing went down. But there is still nobody inside. The religious leaders are absolutely puzzled about all of this. They are not understanding how this is a thing, how this happened. And I am envisioning that in heaven, God is just laughing it up because of it. Because we all know God has a sense of humor, right, church? He used an angel who half of the religious leaders don't believe in, mind you, to supernaturally, again, those same leaders don't believe in supernaturally anything, had delivered the apostles from their locked and guarded prison into freedom. Imagine what is going on. All of these reports of people getting healed. People are mysteriously vanishing out of the prison and then appearing later in the temple to preach about Jesus. Something is going on, and the leaders are completely confused about it. God has given the leaders of this new church amazing powers. Looking at verse 26 of our text, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you to not teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Before I go any further, here's a question. If you look and you see that somebody has vanished out of the prison that is completely locked up, what do you think your first question is going to be? Oh, and especially when this person pops back up at the temple to preach. What do you think your first question is going to be? Me, I think my first question is, how did you guys get out? But no, not the religious leaders. They didn't ask that question. The question they asked was, why are you still teaching in his name after we told you not to? Why are you trying to put the guilt on us for killing him and stirring up people against us? Well, because they did. Because they did kill Jesus. Now, here is your message for today. Verse 29 of our text. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. There are many authors out there that have written entire books on proving that Jesus is God, proving that he did rise from the grave, proving that he did ascend into heaven. There are many books about that. But if you're truly looking for proof that Jesus rose from the dead, it is in the eyewitness accounts. That is your proof. These eyewitnesses were beaten and tortured. Most of them died because of what they said they saw. You cannot explain away their testimony of visually seeing Jesus rise from the dead, ascend into heaven. Verse 33 of our text. When they heard this, They were furious and plotted to kill them. There are four ways of getting Christianity right. Number one, it's not about what they did, but who they were with. The truth in these guys, the apostles, were, I mean, these apostles, if you really think about it, were just a bunch of knuckleheads. All right? And if you look and study in the book of Mark, you are going to find some very interesting things. And what you'll find is these guys, these 12 guys, fought with each other. They fought against each other on who was the greatest apostle among them. They argued with Jesus over what his purpose was. They said that they would do one thing, and then they would turn right around and do the opposite when things got tough. But these men are changed. They are now changed. The hero of today's story is not the apostles. The hero of today's story is Jesus. Your life is not about you. It is not about anyone or anything else in your life. Your life focus should only be about Jesus. Number two, God works for his purpose and glory, not ours. God is not doing miracles through these guys to promote them or to make them look better. God isn't giving them the glory because they do not deserve it and they have not earned it. What is happening through them is not for them at all. God is doing these miraculous things so that he gets the glory. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us so that God could be glorified. Number three, the resurrection changes everything. The apostles were just a bunch of ordinary knuckleheads who changed the world in spite of severe persecutions, because they were changed by one event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today we are all gathered in this room because of that one event. That one event is still changing lives to this day. 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten," meaning brought, "us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Number four, the purpose of Christianity is to get a new life. It is not to get a new religion. It is not to get a new ideology. It is not to get a new set of moral standards, your morality. Christianity is solely about receiving a new life through a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 of our text says this, and I just turned the page, says this, "But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" How many of you have been taken out of your prison? If you have been taken out of a prison, why aren't you spreading the gospel to every human being on the face of this planet? Why aren't you spreading that good news of what Jesus has done for you? We're not here to make our old lives better. Not for us to get an improved life even. The purpose is to get a new life. Jesus exchanged his life for ours. We should be exchanging our life for his. Jesus died for our sin in our place so that we can give up our sin-filled life for him. Jesus says this in Matthew 16:24-26. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? In conclusion, I'm going to give you a little bit of good news right now. In my opinion, there are only three ways to get Christianity wrong. Number one, to forget that we have been saved. Number two, to forget to lead others to be saved. And number three, to forget that we all need a Savior. Today, we just learned a very valuable lesson of a question that I asked you earlier. What difference can I make? You may be sitting here thinking, I am not a prestigious person with a popularity to be heard within this world. You may be thinking, how can I make a difference? Let's look at the apostles of Jesus Christ in today's message for those answers. Did they have the popularity to make a difference? No. Did they hold themselves back for fear of failing to make a difference? No. They had the obedience of following the instructions of Jesus and witnessed his power to the entire world around them. And they did make a difference. In the first century, 12 men began preaching about Jesus, the Messiah, to the world around them. And here we are 2,000 years later, and there is roughly 1 billion followers of Jesus Christ in the world today. What difference can you make? The difference in this world is very simple. You can make the absolute difference of a person going to heaven instead of hell. You are the difference between somebody in your life receiving eternal life in heaven or eternal death in hell. Every Christian in this world has had 8 other Christians in their life before receiving their salvation. Be one of those 8 people in the life of a lost soul. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Be that difference in a person's life every day of your life. If you are here today and you are in need of receiving your salvation, come forward and let's pray about it. Give up your life and receive your true and real life in heaven. Become a true child of God today. If you are here today and you have received your salvation, And God has spoken to you today to make a difference in this world. Come forward to His altar and pray for the proper guidance in order to make a difference. Do it today. I love you. And God loves you. Have a blessed week.
Job 33:4 and Psalm 150:6. The Spirit of God has made us, and the breath of the Almighty gives us life. Therefore, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.